It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's not KSL. It's Unrivaled, though. How long was it going to take for me to do it today? I mean, I didn't
this
have
your
one.
First slip up
of the day.
You're I didn't fine. Have one. I didn't yeah. have one yesterday.
No, 2 hours.
I didn't have one yesterday. Yeah, we were on KSL. Now we're over here at 97.5.
I had to towel myself off. Like that first 2 hours with Alema and Coach is just, oh my goodness.
It's fast and furious.
That is just
it's
so
quite,
much.
It's so quite much a deal, fun. And we're really excited. All the things that we're trying to accomplish here with our show is number one. What you need to know about our show if you've never tuned in before. I mean, I want to study this stuff up. I want our guests to educate us. I want us to be able to entertain a little bit, and I want everybody to walk away from this thing feeling a little bit better about it, and to feel like they learned a little something else. So Scott played in the NFL, of course, for 12 years, and we've been doing a show on KSL for 4.5, and so we're really excited about bringing this thing over to 97.5 1280 The Zone. I was an intern in college at this place, and I never thought I would ever be able to come back in this capacity, so I'm really excited to be here. And listen, we met Megan today. So it's a win, Scott. That's all that matters. We've got so many things going on here with us, and we're at the store, 2050 East, 6200 South in Holiday, and it's our Jazz Insider Report time brought to you by Tim Daly Nissan Murray, home of the auto warranty that does not quit. It's endless. It's perpetual. It's the forever warranty. As we welcome in pre and post and halftime radio host on the Jazz Network, he is Tim Lacombe. Thanks for being with us, Tim. Good to talk to you, man.
Hey, great to be with you guys. Congratulations. You guys, I've listened. You know, I've cheated. I've listened a little bit from time to time on the, I guess, our partner now, KSL. And
yeah, you can see it.
You guys do a great job, and it's awesome to have you part of the family, so welcome.
Thank you very much. Of course, the Jazz season started, and there was one game. We were all excited about it. The Jazz won. But is it too early to know anything about the Jazz? I mean, what was your take from the first game?
You know, actually, I think, you know, it's one of those years where we actually know a whole lot about this team. The Jazz, you know, for all intents and purposes, I mean, you go through just about every NBA, you know, and people that cover the NBA, and the Jazz are really kind of 1-2 in the West in most people's predictions. So, I mean, I think we know we've got a special group of guys led by three All-Stars. You know, in Conley and Donovan and Rudy. I love the moves that were made in the offseason. I've talked about that a bunch. And for a lot of different reasons, I think we brought in talented guys, but I do believe that the depth and the flexibility will really be a huge key to the season. And, you know, the other night was not much of a test. Oklahoma City's not well thought of, coming off of 22-game wins in a season. Certainly in the middle of a major, major, major overhaul, but a lot of picks to do that. And so, you know, the Jazz did what they were supposed to do, but it was great to watch a tail kicking. And I thought the guys played really, really well in game one.
So when you said, we were talking about this the other day on the show, we do What Are the Odds, where we just kind of have people make guesses on what the chances are of something happening. And I think Scott rolled out to me, what are the odds that the Jazz have three All-Stars again this year? And I thought, I don't know, I thought maybe it's low. I'm going to ask Tim because it's just so hard to get multiple All-Stars off of a team anyway. And then last year in those circumstances, to be able to say the Jazz have three All-Stars, they have three All-Star-level players. And so some of it has to deal with who else is going to be out there. But what are the chances that the Jazz have three All-Stars again in a season like this, Tim?
Well, you know, I think last year, Mike Conley, fortunately after a couple of guys pulled out, he was able to be named to the team. It's funny because I think there were years in the past, you know, particularly when Mike was really cooking in Memphis, that, you know, he was just up against, you know, crazy competition. It's hard to make that All-Star team. And you said it, Alex, you know, given three bids to one team, particularly that team being Utah, which, you know, whether you believe that the stuff that's said or not, I mean, I can't imagine Utah's somebody that the NBA absolutely loves. So it was rare. Whether it happens again will depend. I think Mike Conley, he's been so impressive to me in the preseason. I think Donovan and Rudy are no-brainers. So I think they'll get two for sure. But, you know, it's all kind of a numbers game after that. But you said it best. I mean, three All-Star caliber guys, and that's really the most important thing.
Hassan Whiteside got a lot of folks excited. Getting a double block in one possession.
That's it.
I think that was kind of the takeaway from game one. What is he going to be like this year? I mean, he's been hot and cold in different places he's been. What kind of impact do you see him having with the Jazz?
Well, I think that the locker room here and the culture is definitely a real positive. You know, when Hassan was playing really well in Miami, he was in a similar situation with really good organizational leadership and great coaching and, you know, a real understanding of what he can bring. I think the most positive thing when you talk about Whiteside and the Jazz is he really is a guy who can anchor that middle. Last year when Rudy went out of games, you know, and Locke can spout the numbers, he's way better at numbers than me. I'm more of a field guy, but, you know, it was pretty obvious that the other team, when Rudy hit the bench, went right at Favors, put him in ball screens, you know, put him in situations where he had to guard, and he was just not a great rim protector, per se. And what Hassan brings is a very similar type player who, you know, you can guard ball screens the exact same way that the Jazz guard them. You know, there's not going to be any confusion there. And I really do believe that his skill set will fit this team great. He's got to have some success, some early success, and I think, you know, game one was a real positive for him. The preseason was a little rough because he's the one, you know, he's one guy that's actually kind of getting used to a change of scenery, new vocabulary. But I honestly believe that the best thing Whiteside has going for him is he plays for the Utah Jazz, and he plays in a locker room where it really does matter. You know, if you play 30 minutes, if you play 10 minutes, you're going to be held accountable to what you do out there. And I just like the fit. I like the fit from a defensive standpoint. I think he can be a monster on the glass. What, he had 10 boards the other night off the bench in limited minutes. So, really, you're talking about a guy who just needs to hold the fort down while Rudy rests. And, you know, my thought is and hope is that if you look at minutes played last year, there are four guys in the 33 to 30-minute range, you know, and we've talked about three of them. But I think that maybe those minutes can come down for some guys, and that can only be a positive thing because it's wear and tear. I mean, you know, Scott, it's wear and tear on your body to be out there more minutes. And what the Jazz learned last year is, yes, the regular season is vastly important, but the most important thing is to have your team when the playoffs come. And so my hope is that Whiteside, the addition of Whiteside, you know, Rudy Gay, as he gets healthy, I really think Eric Paschal, I think there's a place for him when they go small, and he can play a small hybrid five. And he's capable of doing it because he's so big and strong, and then he stretches the defense, he can make a shot. So I think there's a lot of really positive things. And then Jared Butler, and is he and Trent Forrest kind of battle for that spot? Those are two really good players, really talented guys, but more importantly, they understand how to play and they understand what Coach Snyder wants. And so I think that can be really positive.
Tim Lacombe, pre, half, and post on the Jazz Radio Network. You'll hear him tonight as the Jazz are going to be tipping off just after 8 o'clock on 97.5 1280 The Zone. And it's an important thing, too, because that late tip-off is different. I mean, you go from one place to the next all year long, and all these guys doing this thing. And I love these beginning of the season because it has to get me back into that remembering, like, getting back on schedule of all these games and watching all these games. I'm sure it's even worse for you, Tim, because it's like, I got to get back into regular season mode here too. So we were looking at this one, and I was wondering if Jared Butler, if people are laying too much expectations at the feet of this guy, because I think people are trying to make all these comparisons at the beginning, and the reality is that he does have a lot of promise, but you know, he went in there and absolutely, Quinn Snyder said it right before the game. He goes, this is his first NBA game. Like, there's no such thing. Preseason games aren't a thing. Like, that's some minutes and some experience, but that's not an NBA game. Did you see that out of the rookie this first game where he was just like, man, this is a massive stage, and those eyes got wide?
I don't know so much. I just think he just didn't make shots. You know, I mean, he was probably a little bit sped up, but he was so good in the preseason. And, and I think sometimes that is one of the interesting things about basketball is you can go out there and you can play pretty well and you can't scare the rim. And the perception is probably, what's wrong. Coach Majerus when I worked for him, you know, he used to take the keys out of his pocket and he'd say, you know what, if you miss every shot like that all year long, you can take my car. And he wasn't serious. I mean, we didn't give guys cars. But,
well, he lived in a hotel.
You know, he didn't have a car.
He didn't really need to drive.
No,
a car.
He didn't. He was Uber before Uber was cool.
Yeah.
You know? I think that, Butler will be fine. I think the Jazz got an absolute steal on draft night. I was actually doing the draft for the station, Jake and I did it, and he was the guy that I had gone into it kind of with him highlighted and circled. And the Jazz did a great job of understanding what his difficulty was and why people were passing on him, but they felt really comfortable that they were going to get a guy who was way, way better than the draft slot he was picked in. So, yeah, while it's not going to be an overnight thing, right, and his name isn't going to be, in my opinion, thrown out there for an all-star bid. But he will play a very, very important role as this season moves on. And I talked about it. It's, can you spell Mike? And can you go out there and keep things afloat when Mike's not on the floor? And when you think about Butler, Ingles, and Clarkson as your guards off the bench, and add Tredd Forrest to that too. Man, have we had that kind of guard depth in a while, and that's what's really exciting to me. So it's going to take a little bit of time, and he'll get it figured out, but I would not be surprised even tonight if in the minutes Butler played he didn't miss, because he is a really good shooter. He didn't make one the other night, and so percentages are funny that way.
What do we have to look forward to tonight when the Jazz take on the Sacramento Kings?
Well, the Kings, I think the Kings, everybody knows the Kings are – one of the more interesting organizations in the NBA. I think it's 15 years they're going on now. 15 years without a playoff berth. The next closest team in the NBA is Charlotte at 6.
I think they have 13 seasons that are under 500 too. So it's but like massively potent on the offensive side of things now. And I think people are kind of waiting on these guys.
That's what I was going to say. Is I think they've got a explosive player in De'Aaron Fox. Our guy Harrison Barnes, a veteran, had an unbelievably good game the other night against Portland at 36. They have a similar situation off the bench. They're starting Tyrese Haliburton at point, and he's a really good player, really good guy, get an offense, really physical, tough dude. But when you talk about them coming off the bench, they bring a guy like Davion Mitchell, who played with Jared Butler at Baylor, who's probably considered the best defender in the draft. So he'll be coming off the bench, bring a little firepower, and then Buddy Hield is still there. And, Hield can go for 30 any night. So this will be – I think the thing that's interesting about this game to me, can the Jazz guard their yard? Can they guard the ball? They've struggled before with really multifaceted guards who can score at all three levels. And so tonight will be a real good test. I think it will be interesting to see what the matchups are, who guards who. I love the buzz coming out of the Jazz camp about, you know, defense. This team is a very, very good defensive team last year by the numbers. But if you watch them every night, you know, there were situations and guys that really gave them fits and trouble. And De'Aaron Fox, a guy with great speed, agility, ability to finish at the rim, shoot threes, get out in transition. Those guys sometimes are very difficult for the Jazz. So the game within the game to me tonight is, how do the Jazz guard him? Is everybody really up in their defensive game just a touch like we saw on night one? I mean, Bojan was down in the stance all night long.
Yeah.
And really kind of trying to create havoc. So that's the thing that I'm probably most interested to see. You guys mentioned it's a road game, so they're playing in Sacramento. And so they're going to get a taste of the road tonight.
Is that a thing, the road these days in the NBA? I mean, just how much of a thing is it, I guess?
I don't know that it's a thing so much as, like, the fans, you know, like college basketball or football. You know, I heard you guys talking to McBride, and I loved that. Lavelle said the worst fans in the league are BYU. That made me chuckle. I did listen one night when Lavelle was asked on his show if the addition of the 1st and 10 line on the field changed, made any alteration to him deciding whether to go for it or not.
Right, the yellow line that he can't see. I was like,
yeah, and he had to tell me, well, that's just actually on television. That's not on the field.
Yeah.
So,
now, that's the kind of calls you field when you do the post-game shows.
You remember,
aren't you glad?
Alex,
aren't you glad you don't have to? I was gonna say, aren't you glad you don't have to screen all these? Get a bunch of fan reaction that's just like incessant and coming at you. I mean, we get enough of it on social media, right? But it's pretty wild to hear the reactions of. But I mean, like, the ones that matter are those back-to-backs in two different cities on two different nights.
Yeah,
those are the ones that matter.
And honestly, just going out on the road, staying in a hotel, taking flights, busing, that's what's different about it, you know? And so that's just like everything, that's, you get into a rhythm. And again, this team is very veteran, and for the most part, the cohesion's really good from last year to this year. And so I don't foresee the road being, a challenge per se. Now you get into playing a road game, against LA, and the level of competition then becomes the issue, right? And guys like the Lakers feeling more comfortable playing at home. But I'm thrilled about this team. I'm excited to see, because I think tonight will tell a lot about that defense. And the game within the game will be, how do they guard those guards? How do they contain them? Do they make things really difficult on them? They did that the other night with Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's so well thought of, and he, like De'Aaron Fox, is a three-level guy. And they did a nice job on him, you know, as a team collectively, and everybody got their piece. So that's what I'm going to be watching.
I'm hoping that, too. I think a lot of people are hoping for Donovan to get out to a quicker start than he did in game one of the season. And if of all the things that the Kings really, really do well, and this might be a game that Donovan Mitchell could dip into that, into those higher numbers. I think that we've come to kind of know him. I love how the fans freak out after game one. 16 points. What's Donovan's problem?
I'm going to set the over-under. Let's do a little over-under.
I love
today.
This.
Oh, we
let's
like
see
this
it. What do you have?
Let's say Donovan points 25.
Okay.
All right.
What are you doing, Scott?
I'm going to do the over.
Okay. I'm going to also take the over, but I'm going to.
You can't take what I took.
I'm not, like, cheating off of you.
I know. It feels that
Tim,
way.
What would you do? You're setting it at 25 because I'm going 25. I think this might be.
I think he may go off tonight.
Yeah, it might be a big, big one. So.
Because here's the other piece about the Kings. They are the worst defensive team in the league last year, and it wasn't close.
They won that game the other night, but they gave up 127 points, I think, again. And another, that's like kind of a par for the course for the Kings.
Yeah, I'm going to say over, and I'm actually going to go with a number. I'm going to say 33. I'm going to go Larry Bird tonight.
Look at that. See, he knows how we play the game. You don't just give the number, you give the you give the jersey that's associated with it.
Tim gets
it.
Well, I'm a jersey guy. I mean,
yeah, we are too.
I'm telling you, I listen to you guys. Come on.
I love it. I love it.
Here.
Yeah, I'm glad that I recognized
somebody. I got to interview
Scott
Mitchell at the state tournament one year. I sat next to him. I was doing the sideline, and Scott was sitting behind Springville's bench.
Yeah, he was. He was
and cussing. I went over and sat next to him and visited with big number 19.
There you go. See, he knows the numbers.
See, man. I'm not just 19. I'm big number 19.
The big lefty. Yeah. The big lefty. Well, Tim, we're looking forward to it.
You are terrific then, and you're terrific now,
Look at
Scott.
That.
Oh, thank you.
You should see how svelte he is now, too, Tim. When we all meet up in person, you can look at his svelte body.
We'll go to a buffet, and I'll start to ruin that for him.
Okay, perfect.
We're on the Majerus plan now.
The Majerus plan. They should have that up at the University of Utah.
It's quite a plan.
They should go, here's your student plan. And now the Majerus one is you can't have a shirt on until noon.
That's right. This is no joke. I'll tell you a funny Rick story. I went to dinner with him in Austin, Texas, and we walked into the restaurant and we waited for a table, and he was over talking to the maitre d', and they sat us at the table, and there's a table right next to us that was empty, and the whole restaurant was packed. I was like, man, that's crazy that your table's empty. He said, I booked two tables. I said, what do you mean you booked two tables? And he said, well, I order enough that, you know, I got to get a couple of every entree.
Oh,
and
my
so,
gosh.
But when the food came out, there was food on our table and that table, and it was remarkable. Goodness. It was one of the funnest meals I've ever had.
Wow. Well, we look forward to more of these stories. Tim Lacombe, he's got the pre-halftime and post-game calls. He and Jake Scott do an awesome job. If you don't dip in during the game, you've got to dip in and make sure and catch these guys. Tim, we're looking forward to the rest of the season, and good luck tonight. Have fun on this game two of the season here.
Hey, you bet, guys. Again, I'm so happy for you. I know how hard you've worked to do where you are, and I know there's criticism and haters and all that stuff, but there's that everywhere, and you guys do a dang good job. So great to have you.
Appreciate it, Tim.
Thank
yeah.
you.
All right, guys.
Yeah, Scott's one of those haters too. He's like, we got to improve our show. I don't really like it right now either. We got to get better. Scott's always improving. That's what I like about him. So,
but I don't know that I hate.
Well, no, but we love the criticism. Keep it coming. All right. We've got to take a break here.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.